I'm Greg. I'm one of the pastors here at Ecclesia. Thank you guys for joining us today. And I am pumped to get to share a psalm with you. So during the summer, we take a break from our normal series and the normal things that we're doing, and we just walk through the book of Psalms. And the reason for that is that we want to give language for us as people, because the Psalms are full of emotion. The Psalms are full of expression and difficulty and trial and joy and rejoicing. And it's almost like the book of expression. And so we just wanted to, I mean, as an emphasis in the summer, we want to just almost recalibrate us as humans, because sometimes we can lose touch with reality and we can lose touch with how we feel. And it's like, let's recalibrate a little bit and just read some songs of the church for thousands of years. And so this one's going to be a fun one, though. We're in Psalm 35, and Psalm 35 is known, here's a big word for you, as an imprecatory psalm, okay? And that basically means I'm ticked off. That basically means I'm angry, and I'm, like, lashing out at this person, but mainly towards God because of this person coming against me. So David is saying, God, shame this person, curse this person, destroy this person. So it's kind of a fun, you know, uplifting, joyful, like, time, right? Like, woohoo! Any of you guys who have ever felt those emotions of like, oh, I wish I could just get you, we're going to have a lot of fun today. And we're going to have a lot of fun relating to David in this, because as we read this, I want us to do a couple things. I want us to do one, I want us to identify with David, and I want us to think about a time that we've been hurt, a time that somebody's come against us. And we're going to kind of look at how David responds that way. And then we're going to look on the backside of what David's response is to the Lord and to this person. And then we're going to conclude with the truths of who God is in the reality of, even in the midst of difficulty, the truths of God remain. And so let's open up by just reading the psalm and see if you can identify at all with David, and then we'll jump in to that. Psalm 35. Contend, O Lord, with those who contend with me. Fight against those who fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler. A buckler is basically a small shield. And rise for my help. Draw the spear and the javelin, the small knife and the large knife, against my pursuers. Say to my soul, I am your salvation. Let them be put to shame and dishonor who seek after my life. Let them be turned back and disappointed who devise evil against me. Let them be like chaff before the wind, with the angel of the Lord driving them away. Let their way be dark and slippery, with the angel of the Lord pursuing them. For without cause they hid their net for me. Without cause they dug a pit for my life. Let destruction come upon him when he does not know it. Let the net that he hid ensnare him. Let him fall into it, to his destruction. Then my soul will rejoice in the Lord, exulting in his salvation. All my bones shall say, O Lord, who is like you, delivering the poor from him who is too strong for him, the poor and needy from him who robs him. Malicious witnesses rise up. They ask me of things that I do not know. They repay me evil for good. My soul is bereft. But when they were sick, wore sackcloth, afflicted myself with fasting. I prayed with head bowed on my chest. I went about as though I grieved for my friend or my brother. As one who laments his mother, I bowed down in mourning. But at my stumbling, they rejoiced. And they gathered together and gathered. They gathered together against me, wretches whom I did not know, and tore at me without ceasing. Like profane mockers at a feast, they gnashed at me with their teeth. How long, O Lord, will you look on? Rescue me from their destruction, my precious life from the lions. I will thank you in the great congregation and the mighty throng. I will praise you. Let not those who rejoice over me, who are wrongfully my foes, and let not those who wink the eye, who hate me without cause. For they do not speak peace, but against those who are quiet in the land, they devise words of deceit. They open wide their mouths against me. They say, aha, aha, our eyes have seen it. You have seen, O Lord, be not silent. Awake and rouse yourself for my vindication. For my cause, my God and my Lord, vindicate me, O Lord, my God, according to your righteousness. Let them not rejoice over me. Let them not say in their hearts, aha, our hearts desire. Let them not say, we have swallowed them up. Let them be put to shame and disappointed altogether who rejoice at my calamity. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor who magnify themselves against me. Let those who delight in my righteousness shout for joy and be glad and say evermore, great is the Lord who delights in the welfare of his servant. Then my tongue shall tell of your righteousness and of your praise all the day long. You may read this psalm and say, man, that's how can this be in the Bible? You may read this and be like, I thought like Christians were supposed to be like loving or something. I thought people who loved God should love people. You should, you know, see that phrase around. And this is one of the reasons that we want to, as we walk through the Psalms, walk them like one by one, because it actually forces us to deal with like difficult things. It actually forces us to be like, I don't know if I want to talk about that part, or that's hard for me to understand. That's hard for me to hear. And I think what I relate with David in this is there has been times in my life that I have felt like the world is against me. There has been times in my life, including in the last week, that I was having a conversation with Becca in the car, and I'm just like, everything is just not going well. And there wasn't one person or one object or one thing, but it was like, it was just this overwhelming sense of like, can somebody just stop attacking me? And can these lies not be said? There's also been times in life where there has been a particular person that has spoken against me. And that may be true of you. We rotate through the Narnia books on audio with Judah, our 6-year-old. And there's one part of the Narnia series where a little girl is reading a book and she gets to see the secret world of her friends. And in the secret world of her friends, they're actually talking about her negatively. And she actually like learns that her friends are the ones that are against her and like how they're speaking bad things about her. And she just like blows up and is just like, what? You know, like, how dare they? I was nice to them. And that's exactly what David's doing here. That's exactly what David is doing. He's in verses 11. These people are rising up and speaking these things against me. Verse 13, when they were sick, I wore sackcloth. I afflicted myself with fasting. I was like, I was mourning for them. I was grieving for them. From my own mother, I was caring for them. But yet they're cursing me. The way that's related for me is it wasn't hearsay, because the person who, there was a meeting with a friend of mine who basically came to me afterwards. He was like, hey, just so you know, like this person that I just met with like is saying this about you and this about you and this about you, that, you know, you're trying to take over, your character is derogatory and negative, and you have no idea what you're doing. You're just trying to like jump on a ship. I've like blocked it out of my mind. I'm like, I don't even remember. And or, you know, somebody is like, yeah, you know, Greg, like, he's totally fake. Like, he has no idea. He's not real. Like, everything that he said was just, like, totally, like, bogus. I don't believe a word of it. Or, like, people that, you know, you're serving and you're caring for, and they're just like, nothing you can do for them is enough. And nothing you can do for them is, like, and will make them appreciate you, because they're always like, well, you didn't do this and you didn't do that. And so there's these moments in my life, and there's moments in your life where we feel like we're being attacked. And in reality, in some senses, we are. And that's, as David displays here, the natural response is anger, right? Is anybody's natural response like, oh man, they're totally right? Or, you know, somebody critiquing your business, or somebody like critiquing the way you parent. And it's like, oh yeah, you know, like Greg and Becca, like they just let their, you know, their kids just run around, you know, or they're too harsh with their kids and they need to be less harsh or whatever. Like either side of the spectrum, There's that moment where you're like, you want to enter into my household? You want to play this game? Two people can play this game. And just as much as you want to critique me, I have plenty of bullets loaded that I can critique you with. Right? Is that the natural response? But I think what's amazing with David here is that he does not take things in his own control. David doesn't say, I'm gonna attack this person. David isn't saying, I'm going to respond to this person. What David is doing is he's looking to the Lord for deliverance and freedom. And this is really interesting because what happens with vengeance is that it doesn't really bring joy. Vengeance doesn't really bring joy. Justice, on the other hand, brings joy. If somebody has wronged me and I take vengeance on them, then eventually I'm going to be the one still attacked. Example. In Judah's MMA class, yes, he's taking MMA. I'm a proud father. They go over the rules, and basically one of the rules is if somebody approaches you on the playground and grabs you or tackles you or punches you or something, use self-defense first, or like try to run away first. Use like blocks first, and if blocks aren't working, then you can use a move, whatever, and then you run away. Makes sense? But what if Judah would be the one who would defend himself and then punch and kick and then keep punching and keep kicking and do a submission hold arm bar and break his arm? No, he's not going to do that. Then Judah would be the attacker, right? He was attacked, and he then became the attacker in taking vengeance. Does that make sense? They would both get in trouble versus a bully coming up to Judah, hitting him, doing something, and Judah knocking him over, running out of there. That's a totally different story. But if Judah continues to persist, then that's vengeance, and he's now the attacker. So go ahead and put that phrase on there. This phrase is attacking the attacked, right? Attacking the attacker attacks the attacked. I want to test y'all's grammar today. And I want you to understand the logic of this psalm, of what David is doing here. Attacking the attacker attacks the attacked. If I'm attacking my attacker for the sake of attacking and for vengeance, then it will ultimately come to me in being attacked. What do I mean by that last phrase of attacked? I mean like shame, guilt, like punishment. If I go overboard in my self-defense, that's why when you shoot someone, they automatically take you to prison. Even if it was in self-defense. Because they have to determine whether you were attacking the attacker. You yourself were being attacked. Another way to say this, much easier, is hurt people hurt people. Anybody experienced that before? Where you're hurt by someone who's hurt. This plays out in marriage pretty well. It plays out in all relationships, with parents, with kids. When I'm hurt, it's really not my disposition to be nice and friendly. Right? It's really more my disposition to be like angry and like make them feel hurt. I want them to feel my pain. There's an old play called Dr. Faustus that a demon basically says, misery loves company. We love to draw people in to our hurt. So how does this all relate to the psalm? This relates to the psalm, and we can understand David's position here. David isn't crazy. David isn't like in another world of like, oh, dude, I would never want shame upon my enemies. When I'm frustrated and angry when somebody is speaking against me, my natural inclination is to do the same, right? And that's David's response. That's David is doing. But there's a sense in which David is expressing godliness in this, is that he's not taking matters into his own hands. He's giving matters to the Lord. Who is the object of David's requests? Who is he speaking to? God. Way to go, Emily. Awesome. He's speaking to God. That may be really like Sunday school, like he's speaking to God, it's in the Bible. But he's not speaking to his enemy. And I think that's a huge point. He's not speaking to his enemy. That's really hard for me. Because when I'm being spoken against, again, my natural is to respond rather than like, time out. Lord, destroy this person. Right? Like, and in that act of not confronting them and in turning to the Lord, David automatically takes his hands off of the situation and says, Lord, do what you will. You do it. Because I know if I take control, I know if I speak, I know if I do anything, it's going to get bad. And so David just, he releases it and he says, if vengeance and discipline and justice is going to be done, you've got to do it. In those times of argument, in those times of difficulty, in those times of stress, David doesn't take hold of it and say, I'm going to fix this. You're going to know that I'm right. He kind of takes a timeout break and says, Lord, you've got to deal with this. David is looking to the Lord for justice. He's wanting his enemies to be thwarted. David is expressing godliness here in that the attack that's happening on David is a public attack. People are speaking against David publicly. And therefore, if David is shown to be right publicly, what happens to that person? They're publicly wrong. Does that make sense? if I'm speaking, I was going to say something negative about my wife, but I can't think of anything. If I'm speaking negatively towards Emily over here, I'll just pick on Emily. No, nothing came to mind. But I'm like, if I'm speaking negatively towards Emily, and all of you guys know Emily's character and how great Emily is, and how much of a servant Emily is, and how much like the Lord has grown Emily in like gentleness and grace, then that's a praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you knew that part of her character, you would look upon me with like, dude, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about, right? It'd be like, no, Emily's like awesome. And that's the same thing that's happening here with David. Everybody's speaking against David publicly, but he's like, God, display that I'm right, and therefore that my enemies are wrong. He's not wanting them to be ashamed and be cursed and have this public disgrace or anything like that just because. But it's in the nature of what they're doing is a public thing, and therefore people would know that they're wrong. Does that make sense? Kristen? Okay. I need a little bit of feedback. Got it. That makes sense. I can move on. David is ultimately wanting God's rule and reign to be made known. And this is that posture that David is saying, I'm not going to take control and say, this is all mine. I'm going to release it to the Lord and say, God, your rule and reign be made known. In God's kingdom, these things don't happen. In God's kingdom, there's no fighting. There's no shame. There's no hurt. In God's kingdom, he wipes away every tear from our eye. He provides everything that we need. In God's kingdom, all arguments and dissensions and false accusations are squashed. And we long for that, but we live in the reality that's not our world. And so David is pleading, God, come, bring about your rule and reign. And ultimately, David, in turning to the Lord, is not focusing on his enemies. I love, love, love this piece, and I'm going to hit it again. David is not looking towards his enemies and thinking that the solution is in them and in making them wrong and making them ashamed and having power over them, but he's taking a time out from the situation and turning to the Lord and saying, Lord, you've got to do this. And in doing that, he's taking all of that like pent-up energy, it's called adrenaline. You know, when you're attacked or like physically attacked, people say that like you literally time starts to like slow down because your senses are like going on overdrive and you like bust out moves that you saw like Bruce Lee do in like the 1970s, you know? And you like in that moment, adrenaline pops in and everything changes in the situation. And David takes all of that pent-up emotion and he turns to the Lord and he praises God with it. And again, if there's one point I think that I'm making, it's what do you do when you're being attacked? And you may be like, I'm not really attacked. But there is or there has been or there will be someone in your life who has spoken against you. There has, is, or will be someone who doesn't like you and makes it vocal. It may be your spouse in a situation. Clarify. In a specific situation, you know, you hear the phrase, I love you, but I don't really like you right now. And in that, If there's one thing I'm communicating, it's what's your response? Is your response, you want to mess with me? We can do this. Because that's been my response lately. And it's really unfortunate. And I want to repent of that. I want to acknowledge that with the stress that has been going on, my anger has flared up. And being able to almost take that time out break and say, Lord, will you deal with this? That would be great. Is an act of faith. Why would David turn to the Lord? And this is the major question of the psalm. Why would David turn to the Lord? Let's read verses 1 through 3 again. Contend, O Lord, those who contend with me, fight with those who fight against me. Take up shield and buckler, rise up for my help, draw the spear and javelin against my pursuers. Say to my soul, I am your salvation. Another translation says, assure me of your salvation. I want you guys to think of a bodyguard. I want you to think of someone who is at your right-hand side, left-hand side, who would take a bullet for you, who is decked out with the latest mods on their weapons. And I want you to think of those, like, those accusations, those attacks, and say, hey, you want to deal with that? And that's what the Lord does. The Lord takes up shield and a smaller shield, and he has like the javelin and he has a sword, and he's running into the fray, he's running into the battle and saying, I am your deliverer. I am your salvation. And David is calling the Lord, God, assure me of this. Help me believe this. We have a great protector. We have a great protector. Verse 9 and 10. Then my soul will rejoice in the Lord, exulting in his salvation. All my bones shall say, O Lord, who is like you? Delivering the poor from him who is too strong for him, the poor and needy from him who robs him. David, in the midst of being attacked and accused and wronged, looks up to the Lord and says, man, how awesome. Who is like you? How awesome are you? And I think in that moment, for me, when I think like, how great is the Lord? Who can compare? God is incomparable. Who can compare with the Lord in a situation like that? And it's mainly because the Lord is patient and merciful. 2 Peter 3 says that the Lord is long-suffering in his patience towards the earth, not wanting any to perish. Rather, in God's justice will come. God's justice will be made known. But rather than God being like an emotional roller coaster who's like, I'm just going to attack this guy, God is long-suffering and patient. I want somebody to give me justice who's patient. I want somebody to give justice who's kind. And God is incomparable in this because this is exactly what happened to Jesus, right? Jesus was publicly accused, publicly executed, publicly attacked, publicly shamed, publicly spoken against. And all of those threats, what did Jesus do? He had like kindness. He said, forgive them. And he looked to the Lord and he said, God, you've got to deal with this. And if I'm honest, again, I don't do that. And that's why I then hurt other people. I hurt my wife, I hurt my son. If I'm angry, if I'm uptight, it's like, Judah, I can't talk about this right now. Sit down. And I need forgiveness for that. I need a Savior who is able to take all of my anger and aggression and frustration and say, I'm going to trust the Lord with it. God will deliver. I'm going to end in verse 27. Let those who delight in my righteousness shout for joy and be glad and say evermore, great is the Lord who delights in the welfare of his servant. Guys, I just want to, this is a hard psalm. This is a hard psalm. One, in relatability, because we don't have a culture of this in America. Other cultures do. But this is hard for us to relate, and I've tried to bring us to the point of saying, in even the blessed culture that we live in, everyday ways that we feel attacked, we take vengeance. We can look to the Lord. We look to the Lord because he delights in the welfare of his people. And to me, that's really good news. To me, it's really good news to have a bodyguard who's able to, in verses 4 and 5, that the angel of the Lord is going to seek after them. He's going to drive them away with the wind. They're going to be running away and be slipping and sliding and going all over the place because the angel of the Lord is pursuing them. That's good news. But it's even better news because the one who's fighting for us has paid the price of purchasing our life on the cross for us. Romans 3 says this, but now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Christ Jesus for those who believe. All have sinned. We've all taken vengeance. We've all hurt people. We have all spoken ill of people. And we all fall short of the glory of God. But we're justified. We're accepted. We're loved. We're brought in by his grace as a gift through the redemption that's in Christ. Because God put Christ forward as a propitiation, as a payment, as a sacrifice by his blood, that we would receive by faith. And this is the amazing part, that this is to show God's righteousness, that he had to punish sin in his divine forbearance, passed over former sins. He couldn't just let sin simmer. He couldn't let it stay. He had to quench it. And it was to show his righteousness at the present time, that he may be the just and the justifier of those who have faith. God is completely just in his actions. I am not. And you are not. But he's also the justifier, who's the one who can forgive me and my attacker. That is why Jesus brings it full circle and say, love your enemies. In Romans 12, love your enemies, don't take vengeance, because vengeance is mine, says the Lord. And the Lord's vengeance is pure and just and lovely. Why? Because he sent Christ to be the propitiation, the payment for us. So I want us just to take a moment in a silent time of reflection to say, either one, who has hurt me, or who have I hurt? They may be the same person. And I want us to think about that, and then I want us to go to communion. So we're going to take 2 minutes, just reflect on, man, who have I hurt, or who has hurt me, and I'll bring us back. Lord Jesus, thank you that you have met us at our point of need. Lord, thank you that you have experienced our pain. Lord, I pray for each one of us. Lord, I pray that we would now read Psalm 35 with an understanding eye towards David. Or that none of us want to be hurt, none of us want to be accused, none of us want to be attacked, none of us want to feel like the world's against us. Lord, and I pray that we would have the faith as David does, and the hope and the joy to look to you and say, Lord, help. Knowing that you are incomparable, knowing that you are just, Lord, knowing that you delight in the welfare of your people. Lord, I pray that truth would stand secure for us today, that we would be people who read a psalm like this of difficulty, and we walk away saying, the Lord is our protector, the Lord is our deliverer. The Lord delights in our welfare. Lord, and those are hard to reconcile. It's hard to experience difficulty and to say those words. As Job, the author of Ecclesiastes, Lord, it's hard to see life and the difficulty and the struggle that we feel like it's constant, and to know that you delight in our welfare. Lord, it brings a smile to your face to see us thrive and have joy. Lord, we thank you that we can look to you as the one who has not just been afar, the one who has not just been like, oh yeah, just it's all going to be okay, but you have entered into our mess. Lord, you have taken all the accusations, all the shame, all the fear, all the pain, and you have said, I love you. I delight in your welfare. And then you conquered Satan, sin, and death. You've freed us from the bonds of the enemy. And you said that no longer applies to you anymore. You are now a beloved son. You are now a beloved daughter. You are now a child who is under my rule and my protection. And my spirit is now in you. For those who have trusted Christ, for those who look upon Christ in his death and burial and resurrection, that we can know you as our protector. Lord, I pray that you would give us the grace to walk in faith, to apologize, to repent to those that we've hurt, and to walk in faith and joy when we're hurt, because we know that you are our deliverer. Make these truths a reality in our life, Lord. Amen.